MWC Connection Podcast.
That's right. This is the MWCConnection.com podcast, or as Chris eloquently sang, or is that singing? Would you call that, Chris?
It's falsettoing.
Falsetto. There you go. Yes. Yeah, that's Chris over there, and I'm Jeremy here. Like I said, we're talking about Mountain West, MWCConnection.com. Talking about Nevada, the Wolfpack. Not UNR, as we'll find out. Nevada, Reno, University of Nevada, Reno, Wolfpack. You found out that a couple years ago the hard way.
No. I've always known it was Nevada. I just do it for complete and total trolling purposes at this point in time.
Definitely. Understandable. That's we're gonna have an interview shortly where we bring on one of our newer writers. We have a lot of new guys we've brought onto the website who've been doing some excellent stuff. And we bring on Keegan, who does everything Nevada for us. Not Nevada baseball, because we got a baseball guy for that, which is pretty cool as well. But Nevada, it's NV Keegs on Twitter. That's K-E-E-G-S. And you will want to remember that name, NV Keegs, for some colorful commentary during the show. Is that a good way to put it? That
I definitely think so.
We've already talked to him, so we can say that. There's some fun stuff we want to talk about where Chris will get a little upset or stop talking because of a certain field goal mention.
Bastard.
But basically, one of the things... Okay, we're going to discuss Nevada. Before we get everybody to interview, is there anything about Nevada that you want to let people know about that you love or hate about them?
I hate everything about Nevada. It's one of those things. Like, you know, Idaho is my rival.
Really?
But being the fact that Idaho will always... And in my opinion, Idaho will always be my rival.
How about your phrase that your in-state rival?
My instant rival. Fine.
No, in-state. Not instant.
Oh, in-state.
In-state. In-state.
No. Idaho will always be my number one rival no matter what. But a close second will always be Nevada.
Okay.
And it really is just a lot more than the past few years. I mean, historically, Nevada and Boise State have always been somewhat of rivals, you know, some ruining each other's games or chances of the playoffs at the FCS level and otherwise. But even then, you look at geographically, and the two schools are 6 hours apart driving, or less than 6 hours apart. So there is a geographic rivalry there, not just, you know, maybe not necessarily in-state, but they are close. And a lot of the northern Nevada high schoolers in recent have been starting to go to Boise State as their school, and it's really kind of caused a separation in houses, you know, because you've had these Nevada alums for years, and they're going to Boise State because of scholarship purposes, because of the football team, well, whatever. So it actually has become a good rivalry, especially as of recent. But hating Nevada is definitely not an irrational hatred. it's actually very rational.
Well, yes, yeah, so the past 5 years of games is just that they have ruined BCS national title hopes for Boise State.
Right.
And vice versa, because Nevada had, well, that's Hawaii, but they've always been, yeah, going crazy.
Now, obviously, irrational hatred goes to other schools.
Yes. Idaho, in my opinion, on your part. And
you think Idaho is an irrational hatred?
Dude, they're terrible. You got to win to be a rival.
Oh. So is that what you have to say about BYU?
Because Utah's won the past three in the 8 of 11. I could say that if I wanted to. No, not even wins, but you got to be competitive. That's the thing. Idaho, I think they moved up, not the golf topic that we do all the time, but I have the feeling they moved up just to FBS just because Boise State did. They didn't have the funds, the resources. Look where they play, a 16,000 stadium where you can only put the – you can't even put the camera behind the right end zone at one of the spots to watch field goals. You have to go to Longview.
Yeah, going back to, I guess, whatever we were saying, do I have anything to say about Nevada? Yes. I really do not like Nevada. And I'm planning on going to this UCLA-Nevada game, you know, in late August, their first game of the season. And will I actively root for Nevada? No. Will I actively root for UCLA? No. Will I cheer for the most chaos? Probably. But
you want a game like the South Florida game last year where it came down to the last play or two.
Yeah, yeah. And seeing butthurt UCLA fans will make me extremely happy. I'm not sure if there's going to be a whole bunch of butthurt Nevada fans if they lose, because that's to be expected.
Well, and so, the game is not. There is some hope. Well, not some hope, but it's there's a plausible chance for them to win. It's not guaranteed a blowout or either way. It's a should be a competitive game, but the favor is toward UCLA.
Right.
But with that being said, let's jump into our interview here. And as we discussed everything Nevada with that, we're a resident Nevada expert. All right, and now we get to the important part of the show where we discussed everything Nevada with our Nevada guy, Keegan, on the website, Nevada Pack, or at NV Keegs. Is that right? K-E-E-G-S?
Yep,
Keegs. All right. So, and we got, he's one of our new, we got a bunch of new guys who joined the site the past month, and he's one of them, a sophomore at Nevada right there. So he's there on campus, unlike me, who's miles and miles away. Go ahead and talk about Nevada. And Chris is here as well, on like last time, or a couple times ago. So Chris, you can grace everybody with your presence this evening.
Oh, great. Thanks. I feel so wanted now.
You had a prior commitment when we talked about Colorado State, so not a problem. You just missed out on great stuff, unless you've listened to it, which I assume you have. So
I have.
Excellent. So basically, this is Nevada Show. We're going to talk everything about the Wolfpack, and basically, let's just get started with the biggest news from this offseason. Chris Holt's gone. They bring in Brian Polian, who has never been a head coach, never been an offense or defensive coordinator, but he has a master recruiter, apparently, for being at Notre Dame, Stanford, and Texas A&M. And what was your, Keegan, your first thought when they brought in this not unknown guy, but as for in the coaching ranks, not really up there as well as being the X's and O's guy for what he's been doing the past decade?
You know, I think it's a good hire just because Nevada needed the recruiting guy. You know, Chris Holt did a lot for Nevada with not a lot of money from the athletic department, and but he recruited well for the system, and I think that's something that Brian Polian's going to have to adjust to. You know, it's pretty easy to recruit when you're saying, hey, come to Notre Dame, come to Texas A&M, and a little different saying come to Reno, Nevada, and play for Nevada. So I think it's a good hire. My first initial thoughts on it was I was excited, and it brings a new energy to the program.
So with that, I'm assuming it was a big, huge move. Besides not necessarily getting him, but having him able to keep your offensive coordinator, because he was off to Temple, but then like a week later he came back. So I'm pretty sure that's probably – I think that might be in a bigger move, because they keep the pistol offense, having the coordinator stay, then going off to a different school and starting – who knows what offense they'd have brought in if they didn't retain him.
Yeah, no, that was a big storyline. We heard Nick Rolovich, the offensive coordinator – that kind of worried me a little bit, just because Nevada has the pistol, and that's kind of what we're known for, and that's our identity. You know, Colin Kaepernick's now a household name, and, you know, with him going to the 49ers and doing what he did last year, getting to the Super Bowl, brought kind of an identity, and the pistol with Nick Rolovich running it now is Nevada's identity.
Yeah, and so, I mean, we refer to Nevada's identity being the pistol, but from – and Brian Polian obviously has no intent of getting rid of the pistol, but looking at his background, before he came to Nevada, he was special teams at Texas A&M. He was tight end coach at Notre Dame and Stanford. He was a tight end coach at Buffalo. Where is this gritty, mansome offense? Why are there enough tight ends on the team?
You know, we lost Zach Sudfeld to – he's now in New England with the Patriots. But we do have one talented guy at the tight end position, Cody. I don't know. Let me see if I can pronounce this right. Cody Ardenance. He should be a big play tight end guy, but, you know, Polian brings in a big – you know, with – you know, Stanford had Tony – that Ertz guy. No, he was at Notre Dame, but – tight end's going to be a position that's key in the pistol with Polian, and he's probably going to use Cody Arnett's relatively well.
Which is interesting, because out of a pistol before, we really haven't seen too much of a tight end, more like a blocking tight ends. But really, this pistol runs on the running game. And so last year, you had Stephon Jefferson, and you also had Nick Hale. Who's coming back this year to basically lead the Wolfpack running attack?
Yep. You know, with the loss of Jefferson, that's going to be huge. He was, I think, the nation's second leading rusher last year. But Nevada always seems to have find a way to plug a guy into the system and, you know, pops out a 1,000-yard rusher. Go back a couple years, we had, you know, Luke Lippincott and Vitala. So, you know, we don't have a lot of experience this year. I think Don Jackson's going to come in and have to be a guy that carries the load. He's a junior college transfer from Iowa Western. But I think he'll, early in the season, I think he'll be the go-to guy. But somehow, some way, we'll probably get a 1,000-yard running back out of it just from how much we run the ball and the way the offense works.
You could fall in a bet to get a 1,000-yard rusher in that offense, seems like.
Yeah, they need a 1,000-yard rusher in this offense to get the pressure off the quarterback.
With that, because we know everybody equates the pistol with running. However, like there's that one, like you said, those other couple of guys, Winnie Kaepernick as well, there's the 3,000-yard rushers. However, with Kaepernick in NFL, he can actually throw the ball pretty good. It's not like this is just a run-first offense. It's not what Air Force does. It is a lot of run-based motion a little bit. Kind of a – it's more of like a – might watch it like an option where he has the option to run or pass on almost every play.
Yep.
Because you saw – didn't he throw out the first pitch for the Giants with like an 88-mile-an-hour fastball or something like that?
87-mile-an-hour fastball.
So he could throw. And me and Chris have discussed this before with Cody Fajardo. I wonder what you think about this, that at least last year he's ahead of where Kaepernick was at his same being a sophomore in school. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
I think that's a fair assessment looking at their sophomore years. You look at their stats from their sophomore year and freshman year combined, and Cody actually has a little bit better numbers. But I think the biggest difference between Fajardo and Kaepernick was Fajardo has less of an upside than Kaepernick did. I think there's a lot more room for growth with Kaepernick. But Fajardo is a great pistol quarterback. You know, he reads it well out of the run, the read option, and he doesn't have the same, I don't think, arm strength, but he's got a pretty good IQ, and he can throw the ball around, and that's something that you need in the pistol is someone that can run and throw the ball.
Okay, with throwing the ball, you got probably at least the guys over at the Mountain West website, the official league. What is it, Nick Grain, whatever his name is, those guys over there, and they put out their top five list of every position. The past month, they put Brandon Wimberly as a top five wide receiver. I think they even had him, like number three, I believe, out of that list, right behind Devontae Edwards and
Devontae Adams. Noel Grimsby. He was number three behind that.
So, yep. I assuming with him back, how is their offense? I assume it's just going to pick up where they left off last year with everybody staying the same, essentially, even though Alt's not there.
Yep, I think the offense will just stay right on track. They got their three best receivers returning with Wimberly, Ricky Turner, and Aaron Bradley all coming back. So the offense isn't the issue for this team. You know, with you have Fajardo back and the three receivers and a good returning of their offensive line. So the offense shouldn't be an issue for the Pack in this coming year.
Yeah, the offense should never be an issue when you're talking about Nevada. No. However, the big offense, is just watching Nevada's defense. Yes, that was a pun, I know.
not bad.
But yes, Nevada's defense, atrocious in the past, atrocious even more in the past. What's going to happen? Is this team actually going to, you know, be able to stop anything?
No.
Simple enough.
They just don't have, you know, like I was talking about earlier with the recruiting, they just don't have what seems to be the talent. And, you know, last year, secondary was supposed to be a strength with Khalid Wooten and Duke Williams.
It was?
and it was supposed to be going into the year. And you know, you get to the second game against South Florida and it all falls apart.
Yeah, every deep pass was everything. Oh. The bowl game versus Arizona, that comeback, everything deep. It's like,
everything
tackle him. Take the PI. Don't let him get open. Jeez.
Everything 20 yards down the field last year seemed to be a touchdown. There's just not a lot of strengths on this team. We lose our entire linebacking core, have to replace all three of them.
And Duke Williams went to the NFL because we spoke to him during the offseason. He's in the NFL now, so actually lost a pretty good player. Even though defense wasn't that good.
No, yeah, you lose talented guys, but they just somehow just couldn't figure it out. The one strength I do see is maybe at the defensive end with Brock Hecking, who's very, very talented. And Lenny Jones, who I think can be an up-and-comer this year that could be a name. He's a defensive end. He's 6'3", 255. He had 5 sacks last year combined with Brock Hekking's 8, so hopefully we can get to the quarterback, and if we can't, then every single game is going to be a shootout.
I think you can. I think you can because you guys brought in a great JUCO guy.
Ian Sayaw.
Ian Sayaw.
Yep.
You got that name.
Yep. Nephew of Junior Sayaw.
So, and I don't know if you know, like, I've got his statistics up last year.
Yep.
At Grossmont College, 18 sacks in 10 games.
Yep, yep. And like 25 tackles for loss, I think.
He's got to be able to fit into your guys' defense, like, automatically for you guys to have any hope in terms of defense, right?
He's going to be – I think if there's one key to this defense, it's him. And I think he projects as kind of an outside linebacker, maybe some time at D end, but he'll have to come in and be a difference maker for this team on the defensive end because – he'll have to be a playmaker and someone that comes in straight from JUCO and start right away.
So if you're going to expect blowouts, or not blowouts, but shootouts, I would say with the schedule they have, we'll kind of jump into that as well. They have probably the toughest non-conference schedule of the Mountain West.
I think easily the toughest.
Easily. It could have been tougher if they kept Oregon on the schedule.
Yep. Like they're supposed to. Yep. They got Oregon.
You got to watch out for UC Davis.
Yeah, the Aggies.
Yeah, hey, the Aggies.
But with the
I used to cover the Big West. I know how good the Aggies okay. possibly be.
So not very good, right? Is that what you're saying?
Well, much worse than Cal Poly.
Okay. All right. So with that, like their offense, like the first game, I can see a huge sell. Let's kind of jump into the schedule here because defense outside of Ian Sayaw, there's hopefully you get some. Well, they just took all the fastest guys. To play defense. There you go. That should solve it. Go the TCU route. Just put the speed guys in defense and get to the quarterback.
Yeah, that might not be a bad route to go. Just put guys that are quick and get to the quarterback.
And not afraid to take a hit or get hit, whatever may come their way. So let's just start the schedule. They have like I said, the first couple of games are tough. They go to UCLA because they're all they beat
Cal.
Cal. Yes, my mistake. Yeah. But UCLA, they got Brett Hundley. They should have pretty good offense again. Just kind of what do you expect? I guess hopefully you can maybe slow down Hundley or do something. What is kind of your first initial thoughts of that opening game?
You know, I look at that game and I see a game that's winnable. I do. I really do.
Marking it down right now, the 12-minute mark.
I'm not saying that it's going to be a win, but I think we can compete. You know, last year, no one, you know, what turned out to be a bad California team, no one kind of gave us a shot going in to their new renovated stadium last year and kind of ruining that party. But I think it's winnable. You know, they got a good quarterback in Brent Hundley who reminds me of Fajardo a lot. Dual threat quarterback, great freshman season last year. Obviously, they lose Jonathan Franklin, the leading rusher in program history. So, you know, who knows? I honestly think it's a toss-up. If we can come out and score, you know, we're going to have to outscore them. That's how you break that game down. You know,
I'm going to stop you right here. I'm going to stop you right here. I hate Nevada. I flat out hate Nevada. But I'm planning on being in that game, and if that happens, if Nevada beats UCLA, I don't think you understand how much salty tears will taste so sweet in my mouth. Okay, continue.
You know, but it's I look at that game and I see a shootout waiting to happen. I really do. The biggest issue for Nevada on the offensive end is you know, UCLA's got some really good pass rushers on the edge. So if they can get to, you know, to Fajardo and make him uncomfortable, it could be a blowout. You know, I could see that happening, but I like that game as a, you know, 38-34 game.
I could say it, too, because last year their defense wasn't anything special. Referring to UCLA, gave up, was it, almost 28 points a game.
Yeah.
And Nevada scores, what, about 40 a game? It seems like 50 a game at some point. They could put up points. They were,
yep.
Or if I have
right. I'm so happy.
Yeah, they put up, yeah, 30, well, I was exaggerating, but 38 points a game. It's opening game, new head coach. I don't know how it turned out, but I can see, because right now I think they're a double-digit underdog right now.
They are, yep.
I think it's 13 or 14. So that's a bit much, because their home field advantage, Rose Bowl. Rose Bowl's, I guess, cool and all just because of the name. You know what I mean? You'll tell us, Chris, later, but it's nothing to history. It's not really – they still got the wooden bleachers and stuff out there, but it's not really a great home field advantage.
No. And I think a lot of Nevada fans will make the eight-hour drive or the quick plane flight to – I'll be at the game, so nice. And I think a lot of Wolfpack
fans. Sweet tailgate.
There you go.
I'll be there.
Excellent. Yeah, it's not terrible. It's a late, not late kick, but I guess 7 p.m. local kick, and it's that Saturday night. And plus, Pac-12 Network, you got to be there if you really want to watch it, since that's still not. Well, Dish Network picked it up. I'm still waiting here with DirecTV and to watch a couple of these games, but I could see it could, not that we'll get too much in the game, but I could see either a shootout. Either team winning or UCLA could run away if their offense is just too much. That's kind of how I think that would be. And then we're not going to go every game, but the next big non-conference game head all the way out to Tallahassee Florida State. Me and Chris always make fun of Florida State really being back, but at the hypothetical or allegedly being back in the top.
It always seems like always there. And
top 10, top 5.
So about that, not going deep, but like, what's your initial thought? Because you come off UC Davis, so you shouldn't have any worry about injuries. You're going cross country, which whatever that means, day and age, you get there in 3 hours. It's four and a half hours. What do you see from like Florida State, like compared to essentially, basically, as I ramble on and ask the longest question in the world. Basically, it comes down to Florida State's defense to Nevada's offense, like it probably will every game.
Yeah. I see that game as a blowout. I just think Florida State's got too much talent. And it's just I think they'll be able to make enough stops and make, you know, Fajardo uncomfortable. And at that point, I don't know if our running backs are going to be proven enough and be able to handle that kind of environment. So I don't even see that game as being winnable for Nevada. I almost chalk that up to an automatic loss.
Nice. I get you. It's that weird stuff happen, but it's just a tough place to play.
Yeah, and you never know. The thing is, you never know with Nevada because their offense can score. So, you know, if it becomes a shootout and it's close at the end of the game, you never know.
Because the thing is, their defense doesn't necessarily have to be good in any game, overly particularly that good. But if it comes down to a turnover or something like that, just a pick or knock the quarterback out, somebody gets them backfield. That can make the whole difference. You can give up 500 yards and 4 touchdowns, but if you have two drives where you're going 15 yards because you get a 2 interceptions or fumble, that could make the difference in any game.
And that's going to be the key to the defense is if they're able to have force timely turnovers. You know, and I think it's for every team, but if you can hold the team to field goals instead of touchdowns, I think that's going to be key. But Nevada hasn't proven their defense has the ability to do anything,
stop a paper bag.
Yeah, they probably couldn't. I'd take the paper bag in that matchup.
All right, so then going from Florida State, you have a couple of home games, Hawaii, Air Force. Air Force is always kind of tricky because of that triple option. But the
the no defense for Nevada, don't forget that.
And no defense for Nevada. Nevada, the ability to steal defeat in the clutches of victory. The next interesting game. You go down to Qualcomm, you go down to San Diego State, and this could be a very interesting matchup because it's a Western Division game. You guys are probably all going to be fighting for the top spot in the division. But at the same time, I feel that this game could possibly be Ian Sayah's breakout game because he's on somewhat of a home turf.
Yep, I could see that. He's familiar with that area. So, you know, if there's a game, that could very well be it.
But in terms of wins and losses, is going to San Diego State, is it enough to beat the Aztecs, or are the Aztecs going to take this one?
You know, I think you got to go in with San Diego State being the favorite. But let me take a look. Let me see who San Diego State plays the week before. See, they're coming off a game against New Mexico State, so.
So,
you know, and New Mexico State's not exactly a tough game, but I think you get the edge to the Aztecs.
Anyway, it is a road game, so they have to make that daunting trip from Las Cruces back to San Diego.
Las Cruces is a tough place, yes.
Yeah,
but I think it's a game Nevada could steal. And if they have any hopes at, you know, winning the division, they're going to have to get a win at San Diego State.
Plus, I don't think San Diego State – well, they have Adam Dingle's a pretty good quarterback. They got Adam Moyama who could run it very well.
Yep, their good running back.
Wide receiver scenario, at this point, it should probably be settled, you'd assume. But yep. They don't really have the best wide receiver core, at least returning from last year. And so that could – depending on how that turns out, because it's still, 6 weeks in the season, we should know what each team has on that wide receiver DB for Nevada. So that could be an area where Nevada could take advantage just because they don't have the best receivers in San Diego.
Yeah, and you know, San Diego State, great. I think a great defense, but their offense isn't very very high octane. You know, it's not very flashy. It's kind of, you know, just run the ball, third and five. We'll do run a little slant. So
well, that was because that was because they had Andy Ludwig as their offensive coordinator.
Well, yeah,
and I'm very familiar with him when he's at University of Utah, and I don't know how he is getting jogged with Cal and now Wisconsin. He would run on third and one. Let's do a double halfback kickoff reverse on third and one or something. It was the most weirdest play calling thing. He would throw the, like I said, throw the five, let's throw a wide receiver screen. It's like, really? Come on.
Yeah.
Or third and one, let's do a trick play.
Yeah. I see that as a game that Nevada could possibly pick up, and that would be big for their hopes of winning, you know, the West Division.
Yes, the Mountain West Division.
Yep. Okay.
And they do got we stumbled over that the other day. That was exciting because they do have Bob Toledo who's back, and that should be a more, I guess, better offensive situation. He was at UCLA head coach and a few other places. He's done all right, but yeah, we'll see what he does. We'll know by then what he's going to be. But as for anybody else, I guess the big game with Christian is always the Boise State game.
Yep.
Because rival. What happened in 2010? Or the goal? Are those goalposts still not regulation? People are saying there and
right now. I never knew it until that game, but apparently they're a little short. So
yeah, they're shorter. Yeah, but yeah, that's fine.
I, you know what? I was at that goalpost and I was right at that goalpost, and
thanks.
It was. I was straight on it, and it was a miss. Good old Kyle Brosman.
You're right, Chris. Should I take this for you?
Need a moment?
Pardon me while I go get some, antidepressants or something like that.
Your festival t-shirt victory to wipe the tears off. So with that game, Nevada is going to come in hopefully pretty healthy. They have a bye week, actually a week and a day because that's a Friday night game. Mm-hmm. Boise State, they're obviously the favorites.
Yep.
Depending on what Joe Southwick can do, because he should improve. Everybody's still saying, you know, he's the best quarterback in the league, and I just kind of laugh at that a little bit. Because there are people who feel he should be top five or top 10 player. But with that game, is it just come down to more – because we know the Boise's defense is good.
Yep.
Same thing all year. Basically, Nevada's offense versus defense.
Yep.
How do you – what are your initial thoughts? It's, 9 weeks away, and mid-October – how do you kind of – what's your gut reaction right now for that particular game, for what we know on both teams?
You know, I think it'll be a close game, and the reason I say that is because Nevada somehow always seems to play Boise State well. You know, whether it was 2008, the three overtime game where kind of Colin Kaepernick had his breakout game, to even last
year. Four overtimes, please.
Four overtimes, right. Four overtimes.
Know your stuff.
I was out there for 5 hours.
That was great game, but you know, and then even last year, Nevada was a Zach Sudfeld fumble on the goal line away from tying up the ball game last year at home at Mackey Stadium. So whatever it is, we always seem to get up for the Boise game, you know, give them our best game of the year. So I think it'll be a close – I think that's a game where if –
did we lose you there? Or am I the only one who's lost?
I don't know. I'm still here.
Keegan, are you with us? We will dial him back in a second. But basically, one thing I want to mention, we can kind of continue with this game. I'll try to pull him up as we discuss all this. But Nevada comes off a bye in that game. However, Boise State has to play on the road at Utah State, then head to – then wait, where's this game look played as? It in
this is at Boise State.
At Boise State. So they got to play Utah State, who should be pretty good the week before, on the road. They got to come back home while Nevada has that off week, the bye. And so I guess that you got to say that gives an edge to Nevada to possibly pull something off because they have a 2 week, 15 days to prepare, essentially.
Yeah, but this comes back to, I mean, we're over midway through the season. How are the teams doing thus far?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it definitely is one of those too early to tell right now.
Yeah, sure to tell, but if you kind of look at just the first things, you got to know they got DeMarcus Lawrence, Ricky. How do you say his name? Ricky T.A. Jong?
Chonga Joe,
yeah. You got whatever. You got Jeremy back there in defense. They got some good players back. And I think he came back on. We'll see. But that's just – basically right now, it's hard to tell. All we can really say, they play Utah State the week before. It should be good. They will have just extra time to prepare while Boise State does not. It's a huge rival game. Anything can happen. I assume Nevada – I assume you're correct. That's your probably biggest rival, I'm assuming, each and every year when you play them, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's all you got? Yeah. I'm kidding.
I don't know. Is he back? Hello?
Hold on. I'm calling him back right now.
So there he is.
I'm not going to edit any of this. We'll just keep it going. It's not that bad.
No.
Hey,
we got you back. We're good. We are rejoined by our man Keegan here. Internet dropped off. And just continue your thought about the Boise State game in Nevada.
Well, I'm not sure how much you got, but I think – at that point, I was saying that I think if there's ever a game that the defense will really need to step up and really be the key to winning a game, it's going to be that game on the road, because I don't think Nevada can put up, 40 on this team on the road. I think it's going to have to be, if they have any shot, it's going to have to be like a 28-24 ball game, which I just don't see happening. I think Southwick for Boise State at that point will – kind of have control of the offense. He's never going to be going to be a playmaker, but I think he'll be a pretty good game manager for that team.
You're going with the game manager tag for him?
I am.
Get ready for the hatred. So we mention his Twitter name right now so everybody goes after him.
Yeah. but that's the tag I think Southwick has. I think he's going to be a game manager type of quarterback for them.
Until he proves otherwise, because he was good last year, but nothing special.
Yeah, like I said, he's not going to be the Derek Carr for Fresno State or the Cody Fajardo. He's not going to be, you're never going to look at the Boise offense and say, oh crap, we got to face Joe Southwick.
Brilliant.
You're going to look at the Boise offense and say, crap, you have to face the Boise offense.
Well, that's true. That's true. And,
I get what you're saying. The quarterback, the position itself, he's as of this time, it could change, but nothing overly amazing, spectacular, top of the world like Kellen Moore. But as a unit. Honestly,
I never understood why people were in a hype over Jared Zebranski either, but this is getting off topic.
Well, that's the name of our secondary name of the show, Off Topic. So. After the Boise State, the next kind of – there's only two other games we really need to discuss. What do you – well, I don't know. You got Fresno. You got San Jose State. You got BYU. Really, yeah. It's just kind of a quick couple sentences. Like, it's so far ahead. Like, with Fresno, how do you kind of – what's your – as I said before, your quick initial view of that game?
I think that's going to come down to the quarterback matchup. Derek Carr is tremendously talented. They got a – great receiver last year, freshman of the year in the Mountain West, the Adams kid. What's his – Devontae Adams?
I really want to call him the Adams kid now.
Devontae. They got Devontae Adams, yep. Isaiah Bruce, and they have one other guy as well. They said his name, but they got a couple – they're deep wide receiver. But Adams,
Deron Smith.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So I don't see that as a game that Nevada can – if they can – again, it's kind of repeat. Sounds like I'm just on repeat here, but if their offense can outscore Fresno's offense, they're going to win the game. And because the defense just won't be able to stop a talented quarterback with great receiving depth. That's just not their strength.
And a pretty good offensive line too.
Yeah, exactly. So very strong offensive line.
my first initial of that game, it could get ugly quick and early with that offense wide receiver core, unless somehow.
I think so too. I think it could be, you know, they could jump out to a 21-0 lead in the first quarter and it'd be over then.
Just like the SMU game last year the reverse, I guess, when SMU played first in that bowl game. So real quick, just to say, I assume that your thoughts are same about San Jose State.
Yeah, you know, I think it helps that we're at home in that one. So I look at that and see a win. You know, they got a good quarterback too, and David Fales, but he was actually committed to play for Nevada.
Yes, he was.
So he was a Nevada guy, but I look at that as a win just because it's at home.
Really? You think that simple?
they got a pretty good defense too. But you know, I just don't put a lot of faith in San Jose State. You know, it was in the WAC, they were not that great in the WAC, and
just 1 year. That's all it's been. Yeah.
You know, they haven't proven it.
Wait, you don't remember Dick Tomey's 2006 season?
Oh, my goodness, Dick Tomey. That's a name. But, you know, they just haven't proven anything to me. They had 1 year in a weak WAC, a very weak WAC. Same with Utah State. I don't know how good they're going to be because they haven't shown the ability to sustain any kind of
serve pistols at dawn. Utah State is an excellent institution and an excellent school and an excellent program.
I never said otherwise. I'm just saying until they prove the ability to sustain the success that they had last year, I'm going to hold off on judgment.
That's probably why they're at 7.5 wins for the over-unders, because it's 1 year, new head coach, new offense. Head coach is coming from non-scholarship FCS level at University of San Diego, so it's like...
I don't think we know what we're going to get with San Jose State, to be honest.
Okay, well then, what about BYU?
Ooh. They got a good pass rusher in, what is it, Kyle Vannoy?
Yes.
Yeah, and he was a local kid from Reno, went to McQueen High School. So a homecoming for him. But, you know, BYU's got a weak defensive line, offensive line.
Yes, they have I do some stuff for them, but their offensive line, by that point, you should know what they're getting, but right now it's a mess. It'd be nice. It's a mess.
you know, so if they have problems on the offensive line and someone like Brock Hecking and Lenny Jones and this Ian Sayow can cause havoc, then I could conceivably see it as a win.
I could see it too, because it's funny, I'm out here in that area, and they're talking about the BYU schedule a couple weeks ago. And this one guy who's on the radio, and just does stuff to get people riled up. But I knew exactly what he's doing. I was kind of chuckled listening to him. And he's like, because they're talking about what are guaranteed, because their BYU schedule is pretty tough. They're talking about guaranteed wins, anything guaranteed, any toss-up. And they're like, Nevada, 100% guarantee they can beat Nevada in their sleep. And wow. I'm like, I know the guy probably doesn't – he probably believes that a lot because he's pretty full of himself. He is full of himself, I should say. So, yeah, let me put it that way. I know him a little bit from other work I've done here. But it's, in my opinion, not that it really matters, but I guess it kind of does for doing this. But it's a toss-up game, in my opinion, really, because Nevada's proven to have a very difficult awesome home field advantage, making it very difficult for opposing teams to come in to do very well.
Yep.
They come in for a bye week.
Yep.
They have a great offense. And while BYU's defense, they were number three nationally last year, they do have Kyle Vannoy. They have – their defense is more than just him, even though more attention to him from what he did in that Point City. But they got some guys that could step up because of all the attention to him. But their main thing for what Nevada has to worry about is Cody, wide receiver Cody Hoffman, who's probably top five in the country as wide receiver, and – we all know how Nevada's secondary is.
Yeah. You know, I hate to bang on, you know, the secondary, but it's the real weakness of this team. So a talented receiver like that could single-handedly just light up the scoreboard.
Yeah, it's so far ahead to predict anything concrete or anything, but it's going to be a tough game. It's not going to be a walk in the park for – even if Nevada proves to be very good –
yeah,
there won't be. But even if they're proven to be, say, they're 9-2 coming to that game or something like that, it's still going to be a game where BYU is a good enough opponent. They should be able to score a lot of points with their new up-tempo offense. It's going to be an exciting game. I think it'll be one of those 40-plus point games on either side.
Okay. I could see that, you know. Any game, really, there's only a couple games on the Nevada schedule that I don't think will be, you know, high-flying shootouts.
Yeah, I just think even though BYU's defense should be good, Nevada does so – that it's just BYU struggles with their mobile quarterbacks and stuff like that. And anytime they've played anything like that, it's been tough. Like they, when they're in the Mountain West, Air Force every time, or if they played whoever on a mobile guy, they always struggled a little bit. But they also – here's the thing, too, where it could play into their favor. Nevada is off. They get the off week.
Yep. BYU's, that always helps having a bye.
Well, then also BYU's coming off a road game at Notre Dame.
Okay, yeah, so they could be a little banged up.
So, yeah, so, Chris, you've been ostensibly quiet about BYU. What are your thoughts about that?
You know my thoughts about BYU. I don't think we have to go and say any more. Okay, but I do have kind of a more of a wrap-up question. So the over-unders that was put out by Five Dimes listed the over-under for Nevada on 6.5.
Okay.
Do you take the over or the under on that?
I take the over, and I put it right at 7 wins. I think the best that Nevada can do, if they have the perfect season, I think 8-4 would be a tremendous success for the first year under Coach Polian. But I put it at 7 wins with losses at UCLA, Florida State, San Diego State, Boise State, and then either Fresno State or BYU.
So not both?
Not both. I think they win one of those games.
Plus their schedules, their road schedules, geez.
Their road schedule is just nasty.
Yeah. UCLA, Florida State, San Diego State, Boise State, Fresno State.
Yep.
And then little CSU.
Yes, you know. But I think they could conceivably go 6-0 at home. That's not out of the realms of possibility. You know, 6-0 at home and 1-5 on the road, I think, is what you're looking at for Nevada this year.
Yeah, that can easily be done because Hawaii, UC Davis, UNLV, I guess San Jose State, difficult home game. But that's probably the only losable game. Well, them and BYU are the losable games at home, and I think they could kind of go into your thing. Like, I think they could split those, possibly win both.
Yeah.
Just because Fresno's kind
of... Well, I think it's one of those things where they could possibly, you know, upset UCLA at home, but then drop one to Air Force just because of the triple option. You know, something weird like that could happen. You never know.
So assuming I was going to wrap up with this, but if you think there's a upset win on the schedule, is it assuming just UCLA makes the most sense out of any team they might be able to beat?
I think UCLA is the upset, you know, just starting the year off, you know, both teams, you never know what you're going to get, but I think UCLA is the one game that kind of you can circle and say that could be the highlight win of the year.
Then what about the flip side? If there's a team they might lose to that you think they should not, who would that be?
I think Air Force. We got killed last year on the road at Air Force just because of that triple option, and they just dominated our defense. And you know, they don't pass the ball much in that triple option, which thank goodness for that. But, you know, we don't have at that point, we should have, you know, the linebacking core figured out by then, the fifth game of the year. But I think that's one that could possibly be dropped in an upset for, you know, a loss for the Pack.
All right. Well, then, that being said, is there any possibility that they will be able to win the West?
I don't think so. I don't think this year. Maybe next year with the growth of Fajardo for one more year and the defense kind of getting more figured out. But this year, I think the chances of them winning the West are slim to none.
All right. Yeah, because they got to beat Fresno and then San Diego State. So they might be able to pull off one of those, but probably not both.
Yeah, I don't know if they can get both. And you know, if it comes down to a tie, it's what the rankings and the – you know, whatever rankings they use now.
I'm not sure because if it's with interdivision, because I remember last year's past, it has been obviously head-to-head and then the highest rated common opponents.
Yeah.
So I assume they're going to keep that in there. So it just probably come down to San Diego State, Fresno, within your I don't know if they'll do conference-wise. It could be common opponent, but I'm assuming within division, they'd probably stick with on that western side.
Yeah.
It should be on run difference.
Run differential. Nice. That would be Nevada national champs. Them and Navy, national title every year.
Yeah. But I think it's, in my opinion, I think it's Fresno State's division to lose.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So one real quick thing. So, Bean, I assume you've been to a decent amount of Nevada football games. What's the coolest thing at a Nevada home game?
Coolest thing in a Nevada home game? The cannon. Cannon goes off after every, you know, touchdown or field goal, and it, you know, I'm sitting there in the student section, and every time they freaking score, it still gets me jumping a little bit and freaks me out. But, you know, the cannon and that going off is pretty cool.
That's a pretty cool thing. And it was too bad the Fremont cannon wouldn't work, that you could use it two cannons at one game, right?
Oh, that'd be awesome. The Fremont cannon is, you know, we've had that for 8 years, so keeping the cannon blue.
I'm assuming that should be a ninth year because, you know,
it should, yeah.
You know, well, last year they gave us fits. You know, we went down to Vegas and almost lost that game. Backup quarterback had to kind of have a breakout game, if you can call it that. But it should be 9 years in a row over UNLV.
All right, so I think we're pretty much done. Unless you have any other last tidbit you want to add that we haven't mentioned, but I think we've covered pretty much all of it.
I think we did a pretty good job.
Excellent, excellent, excellent stuff here. So that was us discussing Nevada here with a Keegan, our Nevada guy. And remember that, I will remind everybody one more time, that pedestrian or game manager notation toward Joe Southwick at Boise State.
That one's on me.
It's good.
We also have a potential UNR beating UCLA.
Hey now, you can't call it UNR.
Oh.
Hey, I grew up in Vegas, so that's what I learned it as before.
No, that's no go. It's Nevada.
Oh, I know. I've been told that.
A couple years ago, he did some. Chris started doing some uniform stuff for us, and he put the wrong name.
It was hilarious.
There's a little bit of a getting called out on the wire out there for that type of stuff.
I think it possibly may have been the first time I got called a hack writer, and it wasn't because I called Nevada's uniforms bad. It was because I said UNR.
Yep, not something we do up here.
All right, man. So that was a great stuff here. So thanks for joining us for the show tonight, man.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, and we want to once again thank Keegan there at Twitter, NVKeegs, KEEGS. So Boise fans, send those hatred about Joe Southwick that way. Or to me, I'll take it. And MWC Connection, Chris, Greek Padre will console you. Is that good enough? about backing you up for Joe Southwick's amazing.
Yeah. Wait, Joe Southwick isn't amazing? It's an outrage! Damn it, Nevada fan! It totally makes a lot of sense.
So. Well, as what we know right now, down the road in 6 weeks and once the season begins, that could completely change. And I probably, if I'm going to make any prediction, I would lean toward him obviously getting better than staying the same or getting worse, because that's just usually not Chris Peterson's thing with their quarterbacks or any position. But keeping it Nevada Central, since we did discuss Boise in the beginning and now a bit too much, because everybody loves Boise State, right?
Yeah, pretty much, right? That's got to be it.
So basically, what off what he said, what Keegan said, Nevada's not going to win the division. Very unlikely.
They'll go probably 7-5.
Yeah, he thinks the over was, what was it, 7.5, I believe? I think I closed that out. Or 6.5. He predicts 8 wins. Oh, 6.5. Yeah, he thinks 7 wins, bowl game, 8-4 at best, falling to UCLA. Well, you already heard it. UCLA, Florida State, San Diego State, or Boise State, and then either San Diego State or BYU. What is your – because we didn't get into this either way too much with us. Do you feel on par with what he mentioned about what their projected end-of-season win total could be?
Well, I think this comes back to – I think this is a 6-6 team. It comes back to, you know, the over-under is set at 6.5, but I don't think they're going to beat UCLA, even though Keegan is fairly convinced. I don't think they're going to beat Florida State, obviously. I don't think they're going to beat San Diego State or Boise State. I don't think they'll even beat Fresno State. I think it's just too good. I think they can beat San Jose State, and they probably will, and I think they'll lose to BYU. I think this is a very solid 6-6 team.
Wait, you're picking Mountain West team to lose to BYU? I thought you were, no matter what, going to not do that.
No. Wait, did I do that?
You just said they're going to lose.
I never said that BYU was going 8-0-12 because of my irrational hatred.
No, I said when they play Mountain West teams.
Oh, when they met play? Well, maybe. No, but I think I. I don't know. Regardless, I still think Nevada's a 6-6 team. I don't think that they can pull off losing to either or Fresno State or BYU.
Yeah, they're going to a bowl game most likely, but here's the scenario. If you kind of look, because their schedules, we already discussed their road schedule, very, very difficult. Their easiest road game is Colorado State. Everything else is a team, theoretically, probably a top, well, not theoretically, but five of, if you look at who they're playing, they're all potentially top 25 teams or better. San Diego State being a fringe top 25 team. Because UCLA probably is going to contend for the South Division of Pac-12. Florida State, good chance of winning the ACC. We know what Boise State will be. They'll be probably in the title game for the Mountain West, as could Fresno State. And so those are all teams that could be around the top 25. Then you got BYU, probably, depending on how things go, their schedule is very difficult, but they'll be a good team on offensively, at least they should be. And then San Jose State, if they keep up what they and build on last year, David Fells, Noel Grisby, other players like that. There, and then Air Force. I could, if things just fall apart, which who knows with this Brian Pulling, never been a head coach ever, never been a offensive or defensive coordinator ever in his college coaching career, things could fall apart quickly. And maybe they only beat Hawaii, UNLV, and Colorado State. Go 3-9. Just worst case scenario, because I don't think that's the case, but if you think about it, Air Force is not a gimme for any team. Even when they played Oklahoma or Notre Dame, they keep it close. That's not a gimme. The only gimme, Hawaii, I'm going to go out and say UNLV and CSU. Everybody else, didn't everybody else make, outside, well, UC Davis. So, but everybody else made a bowl game last year. UCLA, Florida State, Air Force, San Diego State, Boise State, Fresno State, San Jose State, and BYU.
Yeah, eight
bowl games. Is that eight teams I rattled off there? I believe so.
Yeah, 7 or 8 games.
UNLV, yeah, so. CSU, Hawaii, yeah, and SDS. So eight other 12 went to a bowl game last year. Two went to their conference title game. Florida State won, went to the Rose Bowl, or not Rose Bowl, excuse me, went to the Fiesta Bowl or Orange Bowl, excuse me, BCS Bowl. I meant to say beginning, but they could lose all those games possibly.
Yeah, no, it definitely is possible.
Not likely, but possible. So that's kind of if I go into record, I'm probably going to say them. I think they can pull out 7 wins though. I'll take the under and go 6. I'll kind of go with you and say 6 wins, because while they're that good at home, I wouldn't really guarantee anything over even San Jose State, and I don't. I'm just wishy on that. That's why I'd go with 6, because just so difficult. But I think they're going to go to a bowl game 6. Maybe I think they can do 7, probably 6 wins. I'm going to stick with for the Wolfpack.
I think that's fair.
Okay.
I think that.
And so you're going to, as for you mentioned, you're going to go to that UCLA Nevada game, right? And meet up with our.
I'm going to try, and hopefully Keegan and I will cause chaos at the Rose Bowl.
What about the San Diego State game? Do we already kind of discuss that?
What, whether I'm going to be there or not?
Yeah, because aren't you going to a game the next day? Because that's October 4th. Do you recall that conversation? We've talked about so many games you might go to.
Well, I know, exactly. The UCLA and Nevada game is August 31st.
Yeah, I'm talking about San Diego State.
Against who?
Nevada at San Diego State. That's,
I don't think I'm going to be able to make that. Are you kidding me? That's, I mean.
It's a Friday night game at 6 o'clock, so that means you're probably going to leave work early and everything with your teaching responsibilities. Who knows? Oh, sorry, you're not supposed to mention your academic type.
Actually, I don't care. So. No, let me take a look at that schedule again. So I'll tell you right now. I think, coming down, that was early October, right?
Yeah, because there's 3 games in the state where you could possibly go to with this team.
Oh, yeah, no, exactly. This is part of the podcast where it talks about how poor will Chris be by the end of the season because he decides to go to all these games.
Technically, we can make it a tax write-off for you.
Yeah, can we? I don't think I make enough to have it be a tax write-off. Yeah, no, there's almost no way I'm going to be able to make that game because the night before is the Fresno State, Boise State game in Fresno.
The Thursday night game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no, wait, is it?
Well,
no, sorry. Wait. No, that's 9:20.
Okay. So who's excellent playing? Podcasting, excellent podcasting, going off schedules for what we're going to do.
Actually, I might make that game.
Okay, we'll keep everybody in the loop. If we're going to be at any games, we will let people know, because I'm going to go to a couple games. I have because everyone knows I do stuff for BYU, so I'll be at a couple of those games when they play a Boise State, at least, and then maybe a couple others, Utah State.
If you're out here listening right now and you're like, who are these writers? We're going to try and make games, and when we try and make games and you want to stop by and say hi, you know, we might be wearing our Mountain West shirts.
Not sure why you want to say hi, but...
Not sure why you would want to say hi, because they're friendly
people. I'm kidding. Well, if it's in a BYU game, I probably shouldn't wear that, but if I go to up to Utah State, which is about 2 hours, I would definitely do that and see who'd want to hang out and stuff, so, but... I think we've gone enough on this show tonight, and so basically, everybody check out MWCConnection.com. I want to thank Keegan again for joining us to discuss Nevada. And yeah, just we look forward to talking to everybody on our next show.